that confession about having favor with people. Just go ahead and share what happened.
I got a phone call maybe about 2 weeks ago from my lawyer, and he told me that the bank called and said they found some of my mother's things, and we thought everything was taken care of 3 years ago. So I inherited quite a bit of money, and all the taxes have been paid. So I won't owe any inheritance tax at all.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. Praise God. It's good to inherit money and the taxes already paid. Now, this was something that they thought was done 3 years ago. Amen? So our God's a big God. And He can cause things to happen. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 3. I'm just going to read a scripture there, and want to thank you for joining us for Wednesday Night Refreshing. And just want to make you aware of some announcements. Sunday is the last Sunday of the month, and we're taking up a special offering for our building, which we currently owe $34,992. And we're believing God that would be paid off in 2009. So ask the Lord what He would have you do, and then just do it, whatever, just be obedient. And then we will be having a Good Friday service here at 6:30 p.m. for Good Friday. And then, men, I want to invite you to our Barnabas group this Sunday here at the church at 5 p.m. We have a Barnabas group is a men's group that we meet once a month on the last Sunday of the month. So I want to make that available to you. We have a good time. We eat good food, and we sit around the kitchen, and God joins us for dinner. And then we have a Bible study, and so it'll be great. So it's available to all men. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. This is really the basis of what we do on Wednesday nights. And this is how it got its name. It says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And that's really how we got our name for what we do on Wednesdays. Oh, I don't know, a few years ago. And that's the basis for which we do. All right, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have been talking about our heritage of faith, and how we have a heritage, and we've been looking at how our heritage came about. We've been looking at how Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And the same way that he believed God is the same way that we believe God today. Believing God hasn't changed. Amen? Aren't you glad that you can put your trust into something that hasn't changed throughout time? It hasn't had a good day or a bad day. It's always been good, I should say. And, you know, God is trustworthy. He said, "I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to change." And He said, "I am faithful." And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." And so we've been studying how Abraham believed God, and there was over 25 years. We have some information about his life and how he believed God. And go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when Abraham believed God, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church to go to. He got called out from his family and everything that he was familiar with to go into the unknown, to go where he didn't know where he was going, but he had to be led by God. All he had was what God said about his situation. All he had was a promise from God. He didn't have anything else. And he did miracles. Amen? God used him to heal King Abimelech. God provided for him. God protected him. God kept him. Even when he made mistakes. Even when he missed it. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Anybody in here besides me ever miss it? Well, that gives us hope. God can still work with us. Amen? You don't have to have everything right. You just have to have faith. Believe God. Put your trust in God alone. You know, it's hard to walk on a picket fence. Amen? Eventually, you're going to have to pick a side. You can't walk on a picket fence. Oh, I'm just going to be in the middle. No, you got to pick a side. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Right? So, if you're for God, then you've got to put your whole self into doing things His way. You cannot do your way and His way together. It's like walking on a picket fence. It's not going to work. Eventually, you're going to fall. You got to put your whole self into God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he says, now faith is. You know, a lot of people say, well, oh, that person's got faith or this person's got faith, really. Well, you know, the devils believe, but that doesn't change their situation, does it? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What was Abraham hoping for? He had a promise from God that he was going to be what? A father of many nations, right? At the time that God said that to him, did he have any children? No. All he had was Sarah, his wife, and his nephew Lot. He didn't have any children. And he was 75 years old when God first spoke to him. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. God gave him a promise. He was going to be a father of many nations, so he was hoping to be a father. He was hoping for the realization of him being a father would come to pass. All right? Then he says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. What evidence did Abraham have that he was going to be a father? What proof did he have that he was going to be a father? God's word. Guess what? God's word is evidence enough to bring something that's unseen into the scene. You don't need anything else other than what God said. How did God create this world? The world was dark, it was formed, it was void. And he looked at it and he talked about the darkness, didn't he? No, he didn't talk about the darkness. He said, let there be light. He didn't even pay any mind to the darkness. The darkness didn't affect him. Because he was going to create what he wanted to create by speaking. And it's the same way with us. You want to change your situation? Change what you say. Do we have the same spirit of faith or not? The Bible said that we have having. That means you're not going to get it. That means having. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you had to make Jesus your Lord by faith. You have the same spirit of faith. We're going to get into that a little bit. So Abraham, he experienced faith was the substance. It was faith that he became a child. 25 years later, he finally connected with the promise and Isaac was born. When he started calling himself Abraham, every person he met, now we know that Abraham was very rich. When he bought Sarah's burial plot, they called the people that he bought it from called him a prince. He had a lot of stuff. So he was probably, you know, a lot of people did a lot of business with Abraham. And when he got the revelation that his name was changed, signifying a new nature, and he would go around saying, I'm Abraham. He would sign contracts, Abraham. His name used to be Abram. But when he got the revelation that God called him Abraham, he started calling himself Abraham. He started calling himself what God said about him. And when he started calling himself what God said about him, something happened within him. Life came to him. Strength came to him. And he was able to produce a child when it was physically impossible. So, faith, you have to obtain God's report on the situation. You can look at a situation from the natural standpoint, but that's not going to change it. I mean, there is a real realm of the spirit. We can't see it, but it's operating. How many believe in angels? Well, you ever see an angel? I've never seen one, but I don't doubt that they don't exist. They do. They're operating behind the scenes. Well, why don't I see one? Well, we don't always have to see one. Bible doesn't say, pray that I might see an angel. Because if you see an angel, then God's about to ask you something that's going to make your mind go tilt. Angels aren't usually seen unless there's something about to happen that in the natural. So you've got, you know, what you say is what you get. Speaking what God said brings it into the physical realm. All Abraham had was a promise. All he had was what God said. But that was enough. All right? I'm going to deviate a little bit. Let's go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. How many want to be successful in whatever you do? Well, God gives us the key to success right here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Now, what was Joshua called to do? He was called to lead people into the promised land, and he was called to divide their inheritance. He was called to conquer and to possess. And we know that it was him and Caleb were the only ones who agreed with God. The 10 other spies agreed with their circumstances and their senses. Now, who got in? Those who agreed with God or those who agreed with their senses? Those who agreed with God. Those who agreed with their senses were accused by God of believing or having an evil report. Okay, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You might as well just say the word. The word shall not depart out of your mouth. At Joshua's time, the word of God was the book of the law. Was the book that Moses, the first five books of the Bible which Moses wrote. Isn't that interesting how he said, it shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night. You know, a gun's only effective is if you keep ammunition in it. And the Word of God is your ammunition. And in order for you to speak the Word of God, you got to meditate in it day and night. The more you meditate in it day and night, the easier it is to speak it. All right? So you got to speak the Word. You've got to meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. Say to do. How many doers of the Word do we have here tonight? Say, I'm a doer. Say, I do what God says do. I don't question. I just do it. Isn't that what Abraham did? I want you to go. Okay. If you read Genesis 12:4, it says he obeyed. He went according to God's word. So we know that he obeyed what God said, even if he didn't understand it. Okay. So you're going to speak the word. And in order to keep speaking the word, you got to meditate in it day and night. You've got to observe to do according to some of it that's written, right? Oh, you mean I can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible apply to me? Many people do. But it becomes ineffective. And then he says, you have to observe all that is written. therein. And then, if you do this, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So in order to have good success and be prosperous, you've got to speak the word. But in order to speak the word, you got to meditate in the word. In order to meditate in the word, you got to do the word. See, doing the word keeps it before your memory. The more you do it, what do they say? Practice makes what? Perfect. You got to do the word. If you continue to do it, then you won't forget it. And that's what Abraham did. Okay? So here's what we learned from Joshua. In order to be successful, you got to speak, meditate, observe, and do. And you have to apply Christ's teaching to every area of your life. Now, I just want to point out something to you. I'm going to give you a list of the times that God spoke to Abraham. All right? This is just a list. Don't turn there. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Lord said to Abram. Genesis 12, 7, the Lord told him what he would have. Genesis 13, 14 through 17, the Lord told him what he could see he could have. Genesis 15, the Lord told him he was his shield and reward. He also clarified the origin of his heir. He said the heir will come out from your own loins, not your servant Eliezer. Genesis 16, God didn't speak to Abram, Sarah did. But if you read Genesis 16, God spoke to Hagar. Huh. Just something to think about. Because in Genesis 16, the action that Abram took, the word of God was missing. Genesis 17, 1, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, in this exchange, Abraham and Sarah had their names changed. Genesis 18, 1, the Lord appeared to Abram with his angels. That's when he talked to him about Sodom and Gomorrah, about what he was going to do. Genesis 18, 10, Sarah overheard that she would have a son. Why did she have to overhear it? Why didn't Abraham tell her? She had to overhear it when Abram was talking with God and the angels. Genesis 21, 1, the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And then Genesis 22, God spoke to Abraham to offer up Isaac. What was God doing these 25 years with Abraham? Faith comes by what? And hearing by what? See, God kept speaking to Abram over and over and over again throughout his life. He didn't speak once and done. He kept speaking to him. When he had new challenges, he kept speaking to him. He kept reminding him of his promise. He kept putting his word before him. Why? Because he wanted his faith built up. He wanted him to trust in God, not in his ability, not in his wealth, not in his friends. His faith needed to be in God. Do you see that? Now, that's over a period of 25 years. And God spoke to him. What the Bible records, God speaking to him, is a lot. And I'm sure that they probably had conversations that aren't recorded in the Word of God. Say, I never get tired of hearing the word. Because every time you hear it, faith is coming to you. Every time you hear the word, it's an opportunity to strengthen your faith, to build your faith, to exercise your faith. Welcome to Faith Calisthenics. I will be your trainer today. I want you to go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Did you know that your primary tool in the fight of faith is your mouth? You will win or lose more battles by what you say than what you don't say. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 22. And Jesus, answering, said unto them. Okay, get this picture now. Jesus is the Word. The Word is talking, and the Word tells them to have faith in who? God. All right? God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is to be in God. And he said, and the Amplified says constantly, say constantly. You should never wake up and have a bad faith day. You might have a bad hair day, but never a bad faith day. Because faith has nothing to do with your feelings. But faith has everything to do with what's written and what God has spoken. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Well, I don't feel like having faith today. It doesn't matter. You may feel so far away from faith, but you can still exercise faith by doing what God said. Faith has nothing to do with your feelings. If it did, we'd be a roller coaster, up and down, all around. Pretty soon you get seasick, spinning too much. All right, let's go on. Verse 23. So notice Jesus said to them, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, or truly I say unto you, that whosoever, say whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, is he talking about a literal mountain? No, he's talking about obstacles that come up in your life. What was Abraham's biggest obstacle? The physical condition of him and his wife, right? Because they had gotten past the age of childbearing. And when Sarah heard Abraham and the angels and God talking over, and she says, what is this? She started to laugh, and she says, shall I find pleasure again in my Lord? You know, at first it was unbelievable, but thank God she didn't stay there. He says, for I say unto you that whosoever. Who can operate in faith? Whosoever. Anybody that does what God says can have what he said. So you're going to have to speak. How did Abraham speak to the mountain? He simply called himself Abraham. I am Abraham. I am Abraham. I am Abraham. Literally, what he's saying is, I am father of many nations. I am. He didn't say, I will be. He said, I am. Say, I am. You can say, I am, because the I am is with you. Think about that for a minute. So, you've got to speak to your obstacles that are in your way. And you've got to tell them to be lifted up and thrown into the sea. That means you have to speak to them until they're out of your way completely. Well, I spoke to the mountain and it didn't move. Then that means keep speaking. That means you speak to that thing until it's gone. Isn't that what he said? Who's talking here? Who's talking here? Who's he talking to? To disciples. Say, I'm a disciple. Say, he's talking to me. So he says, whoever says to this mountain or this obstacle, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Was Abraham's obstacle removed? Absolutely. How do we know? Because Isaac came about. Sarah had strength to receive or conceive, and Abraham had strength to plant. And when Sarah died, Abraham got married again and had 6 other kids. Come on now. When God doesn't work, he doesn't work. All right? Notice now, you can't doubt in your heart, but you shall believe those things which you say. Say, the things what I say. The question is, can you believe yourself? Or have you been in the habit of speaking lies for so long that you don't believe yourself? Yeah, well, if you're in a habit of speaking negative, The Bible defines that as an evil report. We are grasshoppers in our sight. We are grasshoppers in our sight. We can't go in. We are well able to take the land. Let's go in. Which one got in? Huh? The overcomers, the ones who had a different spirit. The ones who said, they spoke to the giants. Joshua said, we can go in and we can take them. David said to Goliath, you're not cutting off my head, I'm cutting off your head. That's my paraphrase. He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, I come at you with the name of the Lord. You can't win, Goliath. Before he ever engaged him in battle, there was a war of words. We having the same spirit of faith? Therefore, according to as it is written, we believe and what? Speak. And Jesus tells us here to speak to this mountain. You shall have whatsoever you say. Say, I have whatever I say. Now that works, negative or positive. If you're always going around talking about how many problems you have, then the problems are going to just increase. Come on. I'll just say la. I'll let you ponder and think about that for a moment. Faith in God is demonstrated in what you do and what you say. Now, in some cases, the saying is enough action to take. Roman centurion. His servant is near death. And Jesus would have come over his house, wouldn't he? But the Roman centurion said, Lord, all you got to do is say the word and my servant shall be whole. He says, because I understand authority. And see, that centurion, he recognized the authority that Jesus operated in. He knew that when Jesus speaks, things happen. So his faith said, Jesus, all you got to do is say. So the saying was enough action. But sometimes the saying has to be mixed with an action. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. So not only did she say it, but she had to do it. How do I know which case? Well, that's up to you, really. Jairus, he came and worshiped Jesus. He said, my daughter lies at the point of death. He said, come and lay your hands on her. So his faith was in Jesus laying his hands on her. What did Jesus end up doing? Laying his hands on her. Exactly what Jairus said. The woman got what she said, Jairus got what she said, and the Roman centurion got what they said. There must be something to this speaking thing. What should you say to the obstacles that are in your way? Tell those obstacles to be removed completely. How did the walls of Jericho fall? God said, I want you to walk around the city once for 6 days. Okay? And while they're walking, they couldn't say a thing. But he said, on the seventh day, I want you to walk around the city 7 times. And then on the seventh time, what are you going to do? Shout! So, guess what? They did exactly what God said. And on the seventh day, when they let loose that shout, the walls came down. Now, why did they do it? Because that's how God said to do it. How did Gideon defeat the Midianites? He was a crackpot. What do I mean? They put lamps in pots and they broke the pots. He was a crackpot. You've got to get your strategy to face the obstacle you're facing from God. Your faith is to be in who? God. So you need to let God tell you how to approach this problem. He might want you to approach it differently this time than the time before. After all, who's Lord? You or him? Him. Okay? Now, the Word of God is the highest standard of life, and you'll find nothing higher than it. The Word is your source of power to live a higher life. So, we got to live by the Word of God. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look at verse 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Say, the flesh profits nothing. Where are your emotions, feelings, and senses located? In your flesh? That's why you cannot be led by those things. Emotions, feelings, or senses. Because they're in the flesh and they don't profit anything, but the Spirit quickens. All right? And then he goes on to say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that Jesus speaks, they're spirit. They have a power to quicken, a power to bring to life, a power to turn the light on. And they also produce life. Okay? So, verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Can you imagine that there were still some people that didn't believe? You still have a choice in what you believe. God doesn't take away your will. All right? He's given us our will. He's given us our ability to choose. And he doesn't force you to be in faith. So being in faith is a choice that you make. You choose to do what God's word says do, irregardless of whatever other voice is telling you. The word of God has to have the final say in everything that we do, in how we live. Okay? Now go with me to John chapter 14. And I'm getting ready to finish here. John 14. And let's look at verse 12. And let's go back to verse 10. Jesus is talking here, you know, he told his disciples that he was going to go and prepare a place for them. And Thomas said, you know, we don't know where you're going. And he told them, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so he comes here in verse 10. He said, do you believe? Believe not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words, say the words, that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Do you believe that Jesus and the Father are one? Do you believe that he represented heaven? Do you believe that he is divine? Well, if you don't believe him for who he is, you might as well believe him for the very works that he does. Okay? Verse 12. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Say also. How are you going to do the works that Jesus did? By what means? About what? Believing on him. So that's faith, isn't it? So you can do the works that Jesus did by what? Faith. That means you can operate in the same faith that Jesus operated in when he walked this earth. It is possible, isn't it? Otherwise, he wouldn't tell us to follow his example. Okay? The Amplified says, if anyone steadfastly, say if anyone, anyone can operate in faith. You don't have to be someone special. You don't have to have a special position. All you got to do is choose to do what the word says to do. You have to choose to do what Joshua did. Speak the word, meditate in it, observe to do it. Then you'll have good success. Then you'll make your way prosperous. If you're not doing the first three things, you're not going to have the prosperity and the success that God wants you to have. Amplified says, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. Say, I can say this. Say, I can do what Jesus did. Because I can live by faith. The only requirement to do what Jesus did is faith. And what is it? It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Okay? And then he says, you'll be able to do greater works than these because I go to my Father. Then you really have to live by faith because he's not here physically. He's here by his Spirit, but not physically. All right? Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Do you know, when you're asking according to his name, you're asking in line with the word because Jesus is the word. Whatever you ask in line with the word, what did he say he'll do? When you ask him in line with his name, what's he going to do? Say he's going to do it. Say he's going to do it. So when you ask in line with the word, you can rest assured that it's going to be performed. Come on now. He'll do his word, won't he? Whatever you ask my name, Amplified says, as presenting all that I am. As representing all that I am. And notice he said that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, when you get answers to your prayer, that's when the Father's glorified. But if you want to get answers, you got to do it according to the word. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will and what? It shall be done. You abiding in him is fellowship, and you abiding in the word is being a disciple of the word. And when you have those two, every prayer that you pray is going to come to pass. That's when Jesus is glorified. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I might do it, right? Say he will do it. Okay? Verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Why did he put this in here? Because us keeping his commandments is faith. Isn't that what Abraham did? He did what God commanded him to do. Even to the point when in Genesis 22, God said, I want you to offer your only son Isaac. Did Abraham argue? No, he didn't. How did he get to that point where he could offer his only son? Well, that wasn't the first thing that God asked him to do, was it? First thing that he asked Abram to do was to leave his home, leave his family, leave his father's house. And as he did that, as he walked by faith, his faith grew. And as he was walking with God, he kept hearing God's word. Guess what? His faith was growing. It was getting stronger. It was getting bigger. And the stronger and bigger your faith becomes, the more you can do. The bigger task you can take on. So when he got to that point of giving Isaac, it was just his faith had been built up so much that he could do that. He could trust God with the very thing that he trusted him to begin with. What has he got to lose? Isaac came by faith, so he'll go by faith. There's no loss there. Because he knew, he told his servants, he said, me and the boy are going to go worship, and we are going to come back. There was no doubt in Abram's mind that if he had to kill his son Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. He went with such confidence, such assurance, because he was doing what God said. He was in perfect alignment with the Word. Now, faith is a belief in Christ that it is something that anyone can operate in. Faith in God enables you to do what He did and to live how He lived. Faith in God enables you to have what you ask in His name. Think about that. So when 5,000 people show up at your house for dinner, what are you going to do? You're going to ask in His name. When you lose something very special to you, like He lost Lazarus, what are you going to do? You're just going to simply say, He's the resurrection and the life. Because He lived by faith. Jesus got every prayer answered, and we can have every prayer answered too, but we have to meet the qualifications. Receiving answers to your prayers glorifies God. Faith in God keeps His commands. Faith is not faith apart from God's commands. You can't have faith apart from the Word. The Word is the structure and the framework of your faith. The Word is the source of your faith. Okay? And then verse 16. Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Faith is energized and with and works closely with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the context of faith, He said, I'm going to give you someone to help you. What does the Holy Spirit do? He'll bring to your remembrance what God spoke. Why is that important? Because what God spoke energizes, strengthens, and builds your faith. It's doing what God spoke. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The Holy Spirit will lead and inspire you to live and walk by faith. He'll help you. You have one just like God in us to help us. All right? Let's go on. The Holy Spirit will partner with you and be in you to help you live and walk in faith. Not only does God give you His Word, but He gives you His Spirit. And when you got the Word and the Spirit, you can't lose. You can't lose, can you? Say, I can't lose, because I have the Word and I have the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He does everything in line with the Word. He's the Spirit of truth. Why do you think He put that in there? Well, because we can't have faith apart from the Word. He's not the Spirit of opinion. He's the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. He is the Spirit of Jesus. Think about that. We have the same what? Spirit of faith. Say, I'm just like Jesus. You're created in His image, in His likeness. You have His nature. You have His ability. By faith, you can do what He did. So, how does that transform how we live? That means that any obstacle that stands in your way has to be removed. And it's going to be by you speaking the Word that obstacle is going to deteriorate. You're going to make a mountain into a molehill. You become unstoppable. What happens if I fail? Just get back up and try again? One final scripture and then I'm finished. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. Then I'm finished. Well, let's look at verse 11 too. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to what? Perform it. So, when you align yourself with the word, and you start speaking the word, and the only way that you're going to continue to speak it is if you meditate on it day and night. Say day and night. And you're going to have to do it to observe all to do, all to observe all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Who's going to make your way prosperous? You are, by doing the word. And when God hears you speak the word, he said, excellent. He said, now I can perform it. Sometimes God is just waiting for us to speak the word before he can perform it. And we're waiting on God to perform his word, but we're not saying anything. God, how come you didn't do that? He said, well, I'm just waiting for you to say it. Say what? Say the word. Amen? Do you see that? Don't wait for God to perform his word if you're not speaking the word. The only way that he can perform his word is if you speak it. And then when you're speaking the word, you're speaking him. And he's like, that's my girl, that's my boy. Why do you think the woman with the issue of blood was the only one that received virtue who touched him out of all the people that were touching him? Because all the people weren't touching him in faith. Only one was. She was. Only she touched him in faith. How come only the paralytic that was let down from the roof got healed when the whole room was packed? Because the whole room was there, but they weren't in faith. Only the people that let him down by the roof were in faith. But if you read that, Luke 5, there was power present to heal them. But only one got healed. Why? Because faith is not automatic. Faith is a choice. You've got to choose to do what the word says. You've got to choose to align yourself up with the word. You can't do it any other way. Abraham couldn't take a poll as to whether or not he couldn't go to all his friends. What do you think I should leave? Do you think I should go? Do you think, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know? Where are you going to live? How are you going to support Sarah? What are you going to do? I don't know. I'm just doing what God said. If that's all you do, if all you do is what God said, you're going to be okay. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says. The only thing that matters is what God says. Put the word above everything else. Filter out everything else because there will be other voices. You don't realize it, but Abraham's father, Terah, died in Haran. Haran was Abram's youngest brother. Apparently, he wanted to use the family, but when Haran died, Terah couldn't go any further. And so God spoke to a man named Abram, and he knew that Abram had a heart that would believe him. Because there's one point where God says, I know that Abraham will command his children. And so he knew that he could handle the promise. But I believe God wanted to use the family. Out of 12 brothers, Joseph was the only one who was in faith. He had a vision from God. He told his brothers, they're like, I ain't bowing to you. You're crazy, man. He told his father and mother, they weren't too happy about him bowing to, you know, about them bowing to him either. But you know what? He endured all that he did. And through it all, he kept a good heart, good attitude. And what happened at the end? The word worked. And you may face trials and obstacles, but that's only temporary. But you've got something that's eternal. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, he said, but by every what? Word that proceeds out of my mouth. I'm talking about having serious faith. Faith is serious business. It requires a commitment. It requires your whole self. Say this. Say, I am ready to commit to live by faith. From this point on, I'm going to check my senses, my feelings, and my emotions with the Word of God. And if they don't line up with the Word, I'm not going to do what they say. I'm going to do what the Word says. No matter what, I'm following Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you want to honor your heritage of faith, that's how you got to do it. And you might miss it along the way Abraham did. But you know what? He kept hanging in there. He kept getting up. Amen? Well, I want to thank you for coming tonight to our Wednesday night refreshing. And I hope that your faith is refreshed and strengthened. And your faith is growing so you'll be able to handle... You know, let me just say this. You can't handle a 100-pound weight with a 10-pound faith. You've got to build your faith up to the 100 pounds before you try to lift it. If you try to lift a 100-pound weight with 10-pound faith, you're going to go, help, help, help. You got to build your faith up. Faith is like a muscle. And right now I'm giving you vitamins. You know, soy protein for your faith. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.